126. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The Paracast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Paracast. We have a fascinating show here because we're going to add something to this episode that we haven't had very often, and that is audio clips, interviews, stuff that might appeal to you. There's a whole bunch of them. We'll hear at least some of them during the course of our three-hour episode. We'll get into that in just a moment. The last time we talked to Chris, he was speaking to us from California on a mobile phone, and it didn't sound so good. Yeah, so maybe you could flesh out your trip to the West Coast a bit more, because they will relate in a few minutes to our guests.
Well, not much to say. I had a good time. There was really good turnout for my talks. I spoke in San Jose and, you know, down L.A. MUFON and Orange County MUFON. And then I did an appearance on our good friend Greg Bishop's show, Radio Misterioso. I had a good time. Visited Greg and saw his wonderful book collection. My God, he's got an incredible whole shelf full of signed books, some going all the way back into the contactee period. And he had a first edition Charles Fort, I think Lowe. Just a wonderful, wonderful book collection. Of course, we didn't have much time to hang out because I ended up having to leave the following morning, but all in all, it was a good trip. Left with a ton of books and came back empty-handed. And
that's the kind of empty-handedness you want, because those are books that you sell.
Yes, yes. Okay. That was good. Also, I think I brought 10 Doom handbooks, which also sold very well in these uncertain times. It's quite an interesting book. Adventures Unlimited just published it. It's based on the U.S. military survival manual, and it's fleshed out and geared more towards a civilian reader. But boy, talk about having everything in it but the kitchen sink. How to birth
it doesn't
a baby.
Tell you how to bring a kitchen sink with you when the world
no
ends.
It doesn't, but it probably has how to build one. Every type of shelter, water for purification, birth and babies, tracheotomies.
I really want to perform a tracheotomy. Let me have that section of the book. I'll get my implements ready.
It's amazing. It's one of the cooler books I think I've ever seen. Boy, if it's not in there, you don't need to know it. If all these crazy, History Channel shows are correct, we're getting to the end of the Mayan calendar, and we're all going to die, so for those of us that don't die, you need a Doom handbook.
Okay, so maybe we should be offering the Doom handbook. Can we get more copies to sell or something?
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. One thing was a little disconcerting. It's very generously illustrated. Lots of how-to photographs and or drawings and stuff. But the woman giving birth to the baby has a Playboy bunny tattoo. I found that a little disconcerting.
All right. Okay, so if the world is about to end, or you're going to be put in a position like you were, say, in the movie Star Trek First Contact. Obviously, there'd been some kind of world war, and only colonies of mankind were left. And this was, 2050? So I guess in 2050, we have to have lots of copies of this book. And we, of course, also have to allow the inventor of warp drive to complete his invention before the Borg gets him.
Right. Okay, Gene.
You don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
Kind of. It sort of rings a bell.
Okay. This was one of the better Star Trek movies. And I guess it was showing what happens to man, humans, in the wake of some worldwide catastrophe. And there are so many movies like that. You know, in the early part of the 21st century, everything falls apart.
Hmm. Okay, and?
And we wonder, why do they feel they must do that?
Who, the producers that make these movies? Or
sure, and writers who write the stories. And you have to
well,
think,
you know,
is that what they want to happen to our world?
Well, yeah, energy does follow thought. I mean, the way things are going, I mean, just look at the State of the Union address the other night, or the Republican primaries that are going on. I mean, this is enough to give anybody the feeling that we're in the end times, and that the world doesn't have much longer to go on. Newt Gingrich as president? Oh, my goodness. What is the world coming to?
Ladies and gentlemen, that is a political statement that comes from Christopher O'Brien. Unfortunately, I agree with him. So now all those who are in favor of Newt Gingrich for president are going to boycott this show.
Oh, good. Well, let's
so you see, we are used to getting ourselves in trouble, though. That's
I don't know, man. Give me any. I'd rather see Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck or somebody president than Newt Gingrich. That guy just gives me the creeps. I mean, he does. I mean, there's something wrong about the dude. Sorry.
Okay. Well, you know, I guess we're going to see how it plays out, and we'll know. Yeah. Possibly, we'll know more by the time you folks hear this show. Let's skip the politics.
Doesn't he remind you of like some like newly discovered, I don't know, sort of species of toad? I mean, the guy's so toad-like. Something wrong about him. I expect, you know.
I expect a lot of listeners are now going to be writing us about this or agree with us, depending on your point of view. You know, we have a fascinating show today, and I think maybe we should segue from Newt to our two guests.
Well, I had a great time, you know, finally getting up to Northern California and speaking to a MUFON group up there, and Ruben is the head of that group. Ruben Uarte is a really interesting guy. I've been in touch with him on and off over the years, and really haven't had a chance to visit him and his, you know, his MUFON group up in San Jose. I was very, very pleased that they invited me to come up, and we did have a good time getting to know each other a little better, and I suggested that he and his co-author come on the show and talk about their new book, and he readily agreed to do that. So this is going to be fun. The case that they're going to be discussing, I think, at length is one of the more, I think, enigmatic cases on record. I'm not that up to speed on the case. I haven't read the book, unfortunately, but I'm sure Ruben and his co-author, Noe, I think his name is, Noe Torres, are going to really give us the lowdown on this particular case, which I think Cor Lorenzen called it one of the better cases out there and one of the more interesting cases. So this is going to be a lot of fun, and this will be Ruben's first trip here to the Paracast, and hopefully the first of many.
And one more thing, we are going to have some audio clips. Now, what are these audio clips? Are these interviews about the case?
I believe so, yes. I think they're interviewing, I'm not sure which clips he's bringing, but I think there may be interviews with family members that were involved in this particular case. I don't want to spill the beans on it too much here. I'm sure Ruben will do a good job of introducing them.
We had to engage in some sort of trickery here because normally we don't present audio clips. We did on one show, you know, one or two shows we presented audio clips, and the process is a little ungainly. But I decided because this seemed to be the sort of show that warrants that kind of treatment.
Yeah, well, Gene, you're a tech wizard, so you can...
Of course I am. I resemble that remark, as a matter of fact. You know,
so
I resemble a lot of things, and after your political comments of just a few moments ago, I don't know what I'm going to resemble. You know, but...
I don't know.
Well...
Just the name Newt. There's just something wrong.
There used to be a song one of the shows played. It's just wrong. And I think it was probably Howard Stern used to do that.
Yeah.
You know, he'd get into some really strange thing, and he'd say, well, it's wrong. What's not wrong are two great guests coming up next on
The Paracast.
As you know, the PowerCast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service, such as Steve Jobs, the best-selling authorized biography from Walter Isaacson. For that free audiobook, go to audiblepodcast.com/PowerCast. That's audiblepodcast.com/PowerCast. You know, we develop trust in the people we know, but we don't really know someone we can see. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's a simple online meeting service. It's GoToMeeting by Citrix. All it takes is a webcam and a click to instantly collaborate. You can start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. You can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Has the United States been discovered in the Bible?
Where does Islam fit in Bible prophecy?
Is the new world order world government?
These and other crucial end time questions are answered in the new DVD package, Understanding the End Time, from End Time Ministries. Jesus Christ said, "I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe." After you watch this 14-lesson DVD series, Understanding the End Time, you'll know more about Bible prophecy than the average seminary graduate. This DVD package normally sells for $280, but now is only $199. Order Understanding the End Time DVD package at endtime.com today for only $199 or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. 1-800-363-8463 or endtime.com.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
We've got a pair of guests, new friends to the PowerCast, joining us, Noe Torres and Ruben Uarte, is it?
Yes. Very, very good.
Thank you. My son is very good at Spanish, so he's great at pronouncing these things, but he's in Spain, so he can't tell me how to do it. Now, the book is called Aliens in the Forest, the Cisco Grove UFO Encounter. Now, we're hitting a world here where, of course, everyone has been told that the case to die for is Roswell, except, of course, when you don't believe in Roswell. This case occurred some years back, hasn't gotten all the publicity that maybe it should have gotten. So either of you, Ruben or Noe, why don't you give us a brief backgrounder of the case, and as we progress, we'll listen to those interviews.
Noe, why don't you go ahead, and then I'll jump in on the more on the other items. Go ahead there, Noe.
This is one of the most remarkable UFO encounters from the 1960s, and Ruben and I have been in the field for quite some time, especially Ruben, much longer than I. And when he first sent me the materials that he had acquired, all the case files from this particular incident, he sent them to me with a note that this was and is one of the most amazing UFO cases that he has ever run into in his long experience in the field of doing UFO investigations. It occurred on September 4th, 1964, in Northern California, east of Sacramento, in a national forest known as the Tahoe National Forest. And in 1964, the world had been through a very remarkable UFO abduction case, the Betty and Barney Hill encounter of 1961 in New Hampshire. And, of course, most everybody had heard about this. And here was a case from 1964 that we're going to talk about tonight that shares a lot of characteristics with the Betty and Barney Hill case, as well as with two other very famous cases, the Pascagoula, Mississippi UFO abduction of Charles Hickson and Calvin Parker in 1973, and also the Travis Walton case, which also occurred in the 70s. In the case of Betty and Barney Hill, the case we're talking about tonight, the Cisco Grove UFO encounter, and Pascagoula, all three were investigated by Dr. J. Allen Hynek and Dr. James Harder, two of the leading civilian UFO investigators of the early 60s and actually all the way through the 70s. And all three of them, J. Allen Hynek, James Harder, and Dr. Anita Brothers, who were involved in these investigations, thought that these three cases, much more than some of the others of that time period, really were highly significant, were highly credible, and had extremely believable testimonies from eyewitnesses. However, this particular case that we're talking about tonight did not get the media attention that Betty and Barney Hill, Pascagoula, and the Travis Walton case got. And there's actually quite an easy explanation for that, and that is that the principal witness in this case, Mr. Donald Shrum, at the time of the incident in 1964, was working for one of the nation's leading missile defense contractors, Aerojet Corporation of Sacramento. And he worked in their assembly plant where they assembled Titan missiles, Polaris missiles, and a wide range of missile systems and missile boosters that were in use at that time for the space program as well as for the defense of our country. So Mr. Shrum was very reluctant to have his identity revealed to the world as a UFO witness and near abductee. And he felt, and evidence and history have proven that he was very likely correct in thinking that if he came out with this and was too public about it, then his position with this leading missile defense contractor would definitely be in jeopardy. And as he has told Ruben and me, it was a time in his life when he could not afford to be without a job. So basically it came down to he didn't want to reveal his identity. So his name was never given. It's only been in the past couple of years when Ruben and I, primarily Ruben, made contact with the lead witness in this case, Mr. Donald Shrum, who at the time of this incident lived in the Sacramento area. It's only been in the past couple of years that Mr. Shrum finally has revealed, you know, all the particulars of the case. He has agreed to have his identity and the identity of the two other men that went hunting with him that day when they encountered the UFOs and the ETs. He has finally agreed to make all of that public for the first time ever. And he chose, and we're very appreciative, that he chose Ruben Uriarte and myself to tell this amazing story for the first time in its entirety in this new book called Aliens in the Forest that we're going to talk about tonight. So that kind of sets the stage for this story.
Okay, progressing from there. All right, we have the basic introduction about this particular case. Now, when you say, of course, that it's in the ballpark of Varney and Betty Hill and Pascagoula, we're talking, of course, as you say, about an abduction instance here, right?
This was what we classify as a near abduction.
Okay, so it's a near abduction. He wasn't actually taken aboard.
He actually fought his own personal war of the worlds that night. And in the end, he prevailed and was able to thwart this massive attempt that was being made to take him. And so it's an amazing story, and unlike a lot of others. You know, a lot of times we hear about abductees being taken fairly easily with a minimal amount of resistance. They're not able to resist, or whatever attempts they make to resist are unsuccessful. In this case, as we'll hear tonight, and in his own words, because we have clips that Ruben made interviewing the lead eyewitness, as we'll hear tonight, he resisted to the last ounce of his strength, always keeping in mind that if he let into the situation, he may not ever be returning home again. He actually won out. So that's why we call it a near abduction experience.
I might add that this is quite unusual for a case of this type to actually occur, because as most of the Paracast listening audience out there knows, most abductions are done, you know, are enacted on people that have no control over the situation. This particular case is quite unique in that regard, where he did have recourse. He was not, his motor functions weren't frozen, that sort of thing. So why don't we start in on kind of setting the stage of these guys on their going on their hunting trip, and then give us an idea of exactly the chain of events that occurred.
Sure. And before we do that, let me remind our listeners once again, you will be hearing some of the interviews that our guests have made with the witnesses. So you get a sense, which is more than you normally get with a lot of these stories, of the people, the sincerity, and you can decide for yourself what you think about everything. Once again, the book from our guests on the Paracast this week, Ruben Uriarte and Noe Torres, is Aliens in the Forest, the Cisco Grove UFO Encounter. You'll learn more on the other side of
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
When it comes to running a successful business, there are many things you have to get right. But one thing is often overlooked, and that's protecting the data that powers your business. Computers, servers, external hard drives, and even tape backups are vulnerable to failure. In the U.S. alone, over 140,000 hard drives fail each and every week. According to one study, only 7% of companies that lose their data centers for 10 days or more survive beyond the year. So I want to tell you about our friends at Mosey, the most trusted name in online backup. Give our friends at Mosey a call. They've been doing this for a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup service. Right now, you could save 15% by using the promo code PODCAST15. That's PODCAST15. Call 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776. Or visit MoseyPro.com. That's MozyPro.com.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins, toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world. Emergency preparedness plans must include a fast way to start a fire. Fire up instantly with a revolutionary Quick Stove, a compact, lightweight, portable stove that's ready for cooking in less than 1 minute. Quick Stove, the safe, non-explosive fuel source that is an emergency preparedness essential. Quick Stove comes with four waterproof fuel cells that ignite in seconds, burn for up to 90 minutes each, can be lit and relit, and be stored indefinitely. At up to 18,000 BTUs, Quick Stove is ready to boil water in less than 5 minutes and burns hotter than most outdoor stoves. Now, the best part. Quick Stove starts at only $34.99 and comes with a 100% satisfaction or your money back guarantee. Order today at quickstove.com or call 801-784-0225. That's 801-784-0225. Or go to quickstove.com. Click on the discounts tab for multi-unit savings. Quick Stove, quite possibly the world's fastest outdoor fire.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We're learning about the Cisco Grove UFO encounter with Ruben Yorte and Noe Torres. As we progress, we will present some of that, I guess we'll call them eyewitness testimony, right, guys?
That's exactly right. Yes. Ruben has interviewed Mr. Schrum extensively, and we'll be listening to a very good recording of the interview that Ruben Uriarte did with Mr. Schrum recently in his home. And it's very clear. We can hear the sincerity and the depth of the experience as it was felt by Mr. Schrum that evening. So we're going to be right there with him in the forest. Witnessing these things.
I just wanted to add, before we get right into it, just a little additional little background is that this case was investigated by a principal investigator by the name of Mr. Paul Cerny, who was with NICAP at the time, and that was the National Investigation Committee on Aerial Phenomena. This is back in 1965, where he had received a request from Major Kehoe, who was heading the NICAP at the time to conduct the investigation. Kehoe had received a letter from Don Schrum's wife and explaining this unusual event that had happened. Years later, the way I came across it was that I had a file of Paul Cerny's cases. Paul Cerny passed away almost 12 years ago, and in these files, which I'm a member of MUFON. I'm the director of Northern California MUFON. And Paul Cerny at that time was the previous director. Then he got promoted into a higher level position within MUFON. But when I acquired these files, and the thing that struck my mind was what was referred to as the bow and arrow case. And I looked at it and I said, my God, I got to meet this man someday. There, as Noe had mentioned, there's been some, not too much covered on it. There were some articles that have been written over the years, but nothing compared to the thoroughness and the accuracy that was given to us from Mr. Don Shrump. So we can move on and go ahead, Noe, and if you wouldn't mind continuing with the overview.
Yes, before you do that, Noe, I wanted to ask you one thing here. Okay. Mm-hmm. We know that Major Kehoe certainly gave publicity to a large number of cases in his various books, and this is at the time that NICAP was really, you know, quite a popular organization. They had some business-related problems later on, but NICAP was the big thing then. You know, APRO,
yes.
NICAP, the major organizations. But Kehoe didn't make a big deal of this?
Well, he did in the sense of initially sending Mr. Paul Cerny, who did a very, very thorough report, which is in our book. And the other aspect, again, was that Paul Cerny had to respect and protect Mr. Don Shrum and his anonymity. But like as I mentioned before, there were some articles, an overview that was written. The problem was that there were more additional articles that was written about this case based on the original article, and then in-depth information was changed, and so you never really got the complete picture. So tonight we hope to share with your audience through the interviews that we conducted with Don Shrum, some of the remarkable things that and the extraordinary battle that he had back in 1964.
And this is one of the things you see in these abduction cases. The people seem to take it. They accept it. And this is so opposite that, obviously.
Yeah, this man uses wits. He uses resources. The guy, I mean, he amazed me up to this day. When I listened to his whole entire story, I was just totally at all. And so when I had sent the documents to Noe, and both Noe and I started to discuss this case and then conversing more with Don Shrum, we were just totally at all and totally blown away by what this man had to encounter. And until today, he's still – there are some ramifications based on this experience that it's still going through some very tough times.
Psychological, you say?
When we get more into it, post-traumatic symptoms.
Sure.
He had a number of nightmares. But what he really wanted was he wanted to get the story out to the public and about this particular story that he had encountered. And who knows? I mean, there might be other stories very similar that we're not aware of that has never gotten the publicity or other researchers haven't had a chance to really get into. Maybe something similar, but like Noe had mentioned, there are similarities between some of these other major cases that were very, very focused back in, you know, Betty and Barney Hill, and as Noe had mentioned, the Pascagoula alien abduction cases.
Okay, where should we progress here? Would you like to start playing one of these interviews so we can get a sense of what this gentleman's like?
Yeah, I'm going to set the stage for the first clip. And
now, what I want you to do is give me the name of the clip so I know which one to choose.
Yeah, we're going to be going to the appearance of the mothership, which kind of initiated the whole thing here in a couple moments. I want to lead up to that by talking about, you know, what they were doing at the time and so forth. So this was September 4th, 1964, and it was a Friday. And all three men that went out hunting that day, all three of them worked at Aerojet Corporation of Sacramento, as I had mentioned previously. And Mr. Shrum, who was the principal eyewitness in this case, who was 26 years old at the time, he's now in his middle 70s, he worked as a welder and a painter for Aerojet, and at the time of this incident, he was working on the Polaris missiles, the Titans, and the Hawk surface-to-surface missiles, and he has told us that he distinctly remembers, you know, what it was like at that time to be doing all that. And the other two hunters that went with him were also working at the same factory there in Sacramento. So they had a long weekend. They decided they had been out hunting before, but not exactly in the same area. So they decided to go out to the Tahoe National Forest, which is east of Sacramento, close to the border with Nevada. And so the hunters took what was then known as Route 40 to the east. It's now roughly corresponds to Interstate Highway 80. And they made camp down in an area near Cisco Grove, California, which is in the Tahoe National Forest. And there's a place there called the Loch Leven Lakes. And it was near one of those small lakes that they set up camp early in the day on Friday. And then they walked around, and I don't think I mentioned earlier that this was a bow hunting expedition because it wasn't rifle season yet. The men had been out, previously hunting both using rifles as well as bow and arrow. So this particular case, before the start of the rifle season, they went out with their bow and arrows, and they were looking primarily for deer. So they spent the day on Friday looking around and not able to find much in the way of, game. And so it was getting near dark. Mr. Shrum found himself on one side of a ravine, and one of the other hunters was on the opposite side of the ravine from him. And then the third hunter was down below in the canyon or the base of the ravine. And they were all moving parallel to each other. They had no communication equipment. They had been trying to remain roughly within earshot of each other. But what happened is Mr. Shrum thought that when he got to the end of the ravine, that there would be a way that he could cross over and rejoin his buddy on the other side of the ravine. But when he got to the end of it, there was no way to do that. And he found that he had to back up and go back the way he had come. Well, by that time it was considerably dark and would be dark very, very shortly. And he was concerned for his safety. As hunters often do when they're faced with a situation that they're out at night in an area that's unfamiliar and there are predators in the area. There had been reports of bears.
I'll tell you what, you're phrasing a frightening scenario here that we want to hear more
yes.
about. The book is Aliens in the Forest. We're talking about the story involving Donald Shrum, Noe Torres, and Ruben Uarte. Join us with Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Did you know that how well your brain works is directly dependent upon how well your gut works? Did you know that an inflamed or compromised digestive system directly contributes to poor focus, depression, irritability, attention deficit, and hyperactivity? By eliminating the inflammation in your intestines and by having good bacteria populations, you may enjoy better brain function. The most important protein your body needs to keep inflammation down is glutathione. The number one food to support a dramatic increase in glutathione production is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. Virtually all whey proteins are damaged by heat, filtration, and chemicals, except one. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein on the market. It is changing the lives of its users in very positive ways. One World Whey may act as one of the most important health foods to support your and your child's optimal brain function. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Did you ever think you'd be where you are? A decade into the 21st century. Record foreclosure rates for homes. If not yours, your neighbors. Thankful for the unemployment check since you were laid off. And placing your child's name on the angel tree in hopes of a Christmas gift, along with thousands of other Americans. Did you ever think your future would feel this out of control? The fact is, in all this craziness, there's only one thing you can control. your greatest dependency, your food supply. Make 2012 the year you take control by getting prepared. eFoods Direct introduces the best way to build your food supply in the 21st century. Get a 21-day supply of food free with purchase. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Take back control in 2012. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Remember, you can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
Ready to save while getting prepared? Then you're ready for the winter sale at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Take advantage of the incredible savings on all items at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Portable AM, FM, and shortwave radios from $19.95. American Red Cross emergency radios and Kato radios from $28.95. Solar lanterns from $22.95. Solar flashlights, two for $16.95. Hand crank LED hurricane lanterns and flashlights from $8.95. Be sure to check out the flexible solar panel to power your emergency and survival gear. Every order over $75 will receive a solar-powered flashlight absolutely free. So get prepared this winter by visiting 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. 21stCenturyGoods.com or call 866-999-8422. That's 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we're talking about a new book, Aliens in the Forest, the Cisco Grove UFO Encounter, from September 4th of 1964, just 5 days before my birthday. I was 492 years old then, with Noe Torres and Ruben Uarte. Let's continue with the story. Who wants to pick it up?
Yes, continuing on then, we were talking about Mr. Shrum and two of his buddies from work, from the Aerojet Corporation. Were out in the Tahoe National Forest when it started getting dark. They became separated from each other. And as hunters often do, they try to find a safe haven for the night because, you know, there are predators to take into consideration. There were bear sighted in the area as well as other predators. And also, Mr. Shrum was, and the hunters were basically unfamiliar with the terrain there. So you've got ravines, you've got, you know, it'd be real easy to hurt yourself, twist an ankle, fall down a ravine. So he was looking for thinking of a place that he could, you know, spend the night in a safe place and then rejoin the other two men that he had gotten separated from at a later point. So one of the things that he decided to do was there was no other obvious haven that he could spend the night in, like a cave or anything like that. So he decided to go up in a tree, and it was a pine tree. He had on his person, around his waist, he had a military-style belt that he could unfasten and loop around one of the larger branches up in the tree and thereby secure his position up there for spending the night. And that way he would be safe from most predators and any dangers. And he could just wait it out for a few hours until it got light again and then try to rejoin his companion. So that's what he determined to do. This is not unusual for hunters to do this. Well, he was up in that tree when he saw a light off in the distance to the north of his position. And he thought at first that it might be a helicopter that had been sent to rescue him by his two fellow hunters who obviously had discovered that he had gotten himself lost for the night, and they might have gone to their local park ranger as the forest ranger station and maybe called for help, and then a helicopter was sent. This was what was running through Mr. Shrum's mind. As we will hear in this first clip, the appearance of the mothership, it turned out to not be a rescue helicopter, but something else altogether.
And then I saw a light. It looked like a lantern going up and down a trail, but then it came over the top of a tree, and I got kind of excited then because I thought it was a helicopter from the Forest Service. And I stood between two of the fires that I built on the rocks and waved my arms and yelled and screamed and finally that light started coming towards me. So I was really relieved then because I thought it was a helicopter still, until it got within, oh, maybe 60 feet or yards. I'm not sure the distance at night. But it just stood, hovered there with no sound. So then I panicked because I knew it was no helicopter. I thought it was something from outer space. But it looked like all I could see is a little, about an 8-inch glow. So I thought it was just a little tiny, you know, flying saucer. And then I kind of panicked and I threw my bow up in the tree again and hand walked out that limb and got up in the tree. And I had all camouflage clothing on, so I figured, well, they won't see me here, you know. But then this light went a half circle around me over the canyon. Then I could see the shadow of the whole spacecraft. And that was just a light that was on the nose of it.
So what he first thought was just a small little bright light, actually he realized that was just a small light that was on a much larger ship. And he later described it to us, and when he underwent regressive hypnotherapy later, it became even more focused, that this was an extremely large object. It was approximately 150 feet from stern to bow. And so, in other words, it was the equivalent of a 14-story building. And it was cigar-shaped and had a very dark hull. And I believe Ruben had some additional comments on it. Ruben, did you want to?
Oh, go ahead. No, when we get toward the scout ship, which we'll get right into.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask one question, quick question. Okay, because just a quick alarm bell sort of rang, and this is the thing, of course, that some of the skeptics were raised, and let's get it out of the way. He recalled some details through hypnosis, or is everything basically physically remembered and then hypnosis maybe just helped him a little bit?
That's a very good point, and we need to say that all of the details of the case that were presented tonight were mainly taken from Paul Cerny's interview with Mr. Shrum just a few months after the incident happened. There was no hypnotherapy done until many years later. And when hypnosis was finally used, what it did was it just confirmed all the details that had been given in previous interviews and then just gave a couple of small additional details.
Okay, one more question. When were these recordings made?
The recordings that we're listening to tonight, Ruben made recently. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, actually, this goes back in 2005. I had the privilege to stay with the Shrums. They invited me over to their home as a guest, and I spent several days with them. And what I had with me were a number of the materials and documents that are now in our book that was put together by Mr. Paul Cerny, again, back in early 67, 65 through 67 and some other periods, because he kept working with Mr. Shrum on this case. We were real fortunate, Gene and Chris, to have not only the documents, but we actually had the actual transcription of the interview. And so that helped me quite a bit. Then when I met with Don Shrum, we were fortunate that his son also videotaped the entire interview. So I had basically the same kind of questions that Paul used almost 40, 50 years ago, but I also had some different questions. And what I was totally amazed is that this man never changed his story. He was right on as it happened back 50 years ago. So you'll see in the detail in his description as we continue with the other audio clips.
Okay, so this is a very important point to mention, that it's not just somebody recalling 50 years later, oh, I saw a UFO. It is somebody who's lived with this for a great part of his adult life.
Yes.
Right, and I'm really intrigued by, you know, the aspect of the interviews bringing out information that doesn't seem to appear to change over all these years. Many cases that come down the pike in the last couple, three decades, the initial story tends to have legs and it grows and more details are added on, becomes more sophisticated, more details are brought out. I could name some names of particular cases, but I won't. That's one of the things about this case that makes it, as a field investigator, very compelling, because yeah, it's rock solid from beginning to end. You don't have that that case getting legs and growing details, which I think is really does add to the credibility factor.
Yes, Chris. Just to add real quickly too, the thing that really also amazed me is, and you probably can relate to this, both Noe as well and Gene, when you work with people, you study their body language. And the thing that really amazed me with Don was the fact that as he was describing his situation, you could tell he was still very bothered. He was going back into time, and I was seeing him shake, and I could see the pauses that he was going through, and I was just looking through this man's eyes, and I just said, whatever he encountered back in 64, it obviously shook him up.
The book is called Aliens in the Forest. It's the case of Donald Shrum. We'll be hearing more of the interviews with him from Ruben Duarte and Noe Torres. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.